Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Wherever you find yourself, just wake up and breathe and thank your creator, your higher power, your source for life. Because guess what? This is the only 24-hour time that you have.
Mm.
You can't go into another 24 hours until you are given permission by time.
Mm.
And you can go back in the past, but I tell you what, be careful what you visit, because it may get you stuck.
Yes, that is true.
Yes, welcome, welcome, my wonderful, beautiful Naima, the chief executive producer of the Female Solution.
Well,
you know, and I'm Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions, and I'm thankful to be here with you guys today to give you some much-needed knowledge to perfect yourself, not to be perfect, but to be perfected. That's two different things.
I like that.
That's two different things. Because guess what? There's no such thing as a perfect life. But for those who are out there that do believe that, if you would notice that every time you think something will go perfect, it usually falls apart, is the reason for that, because there's nothing perfect in this world, not this natural world, that is, okay? Mm. So don't be hard on yourself. Don't be hard on you. Take a break. Get a flexible mind. Our topic today is understanding the wise mind.
Why?
There is such thing as a wise mind, yeah. The creator of balance. Okay, and the thing about this is there's so many different aspects for this. So when, now even when I thought about this topic, I had to kind of, what they call it, put it in a compartmentalized thing so that it wouldn't be so overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because there's so much to our mind, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we have our brain, but then the mind is something totally different.
Absolutely.
It's what the brain creates.
Now, maybe you can explain that a little more for people who don't understand the difference between the brain, which is the physical structure, and the
right.
mind, which is...
Okay. Absolutely. Explain. Well, our forefathers of psychology, okay, I'll just use one of them, and that was Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud, doing his studies back in the early 1900s, figured out that the brain has a non-tangible... Okay, non-tangible is something you cannot touch. You can touch the brain. If you go into its cavity, you can see the physical part of the brain and the working orders of the brain. But the brain is a very complex organ because it is considered an organ, okay? So the non-tangible is what we're talking about today, the conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious. That's what we're talking about. So we're going to break that down into three parts, the ego, the superego, and the id. Okay? The ego, the superego, and the id. And the reason why I use Freudian theory is because it's more simplified, that you can actually understand it from just where it sits, you know, far as the ego. Everyone knows, you ever heard, oh, you're egotistical. They usually refer to men as being egotistical. Sometimes it's gender-based, but we all have a part of that, female and male gender. So the ego is the part that literally brings us, it makes decisions to a certain degree, and it actually creates our pleasure center. Like, you know, what gives you pleasure? You know, what affects you? You know, and what inspires you? All of those type of natural entities, ideas, theoric type of things, to make it simple. So, like, when you created a goal, you use that, you know, ego to create a goal because you're looking at something that is productive for you. You would hope it be, because some people create goals, it's not. Okay?
Right,
so
right.
So we're only talking about the balanced mind, but I want you to understand the two concepts. Just like we have two hemispheres, we have balanced and unbalanced mindsets. Okay?
Yeah.
We have the two mindsets that we're really going to be talking about today is the emotional mind and the reasonable mind. That creates the balanced mind only if it is involved with each other evenly, okay?
Yeah.
So what happens? What happens when the body, okay, I want to give you two concepts on this, so I have to break it down, okay? The emotional mind is actually is ruled by the thalamus and the hippocampus of the brain, and it's your emotional regulator system. You know, some people get reactive and some people get responsive, okay? There is two different things, all right? A reactive is similar to, like, if you won't go to the doctor and the doctor takes that little amulet, that little hammer-like thing, and hits your knee,
yeah.
And all of a sudden it just moves by itself.
automatic okay. reaction, yeah.
Automatic reaction. Okay, that's what... There's parts of us called impulsivity that causes us to react. And
yes.
that's without thinking. Please understand
yes.
that. You're not giving any
key
conscious thought.
Without thinking. That's the key
without.
Word.
Without.
Yes.
No, you're just reacting. That's all you're doing, right? Now, here comes the other side of that. It's called the response. The response takes conscious cognitive thought. We call it ponder, okay? When you ponder on something, like, you know, you take your moment there and you ponder on what is the next move, right? So that is where you use your conscious, your cognitive ability, your logic, your rationale, your reasoning, okay, that part of your brain. We call it the executive functioning, okay? The executive function. It's in the frontal lobe from temple to temple, right there in the front, right where above your eyes. So if you want to know where it is, it's right above your eyes, right? And you've got that middle right there. We call it the third eye, which is the pineal gland, okay? That actually assists us in also our balance. Believe it or not, it's our regulator, even sleep. It's our regulator. Like, you know, when your sun shines through your blinds, for some of us that don't go on a deep REM, because some people sleep hard, you guys.
Yeah.
So no matter what, a train can come through, they won't wake up, right? That's interesting.
Yeah.
But the body doesn't react, or the brain does not react to sound. What's going on with that? That's a whole other topic, right?
Right.
But what we're talking about is how to create and keep our minds in balance so that we're not just this, what they call this reacting, regulatory, systematic person. We're just constantly reacting, but we're not giving anything a conscious thought. So when you are only impulsive, then what's going to happen is you're only going to produce impulsivity, all right? So the result is usually going to be detrimental. You've been there. We've all been there, right? When you realize, like, oh, my God, what did I do? You have that what did I do moment after the fact.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You saw that red light, but you just kept on going. You kept right on going. You didn't stop. You kept right on going. And so what does that mean? That means that you didn't give a conscious thought to what you were doing. Where was your mind? Good question, right?
All
right. Oh, wonderful. Dabra Watkins is watching on our Facebook Live. War Ministry, praying, sharing, and watching with women everywhere.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Ms. Dava. Thank you so much. So when these things happen, you guys, what happens is your brain, okay, we're talking about the parts of the brain I'm talking about, which is the subconscious. I'm going to refer to that as autopilot. Autopilot. So if you hear me say autopilot, I'm talking about the subconscious mind, right? That's all of your memory, all your experiences. It holds the chapters of your life in motion picture. Yes, ma'am. The heart holds the issues. It's how you feel about the motion picture. Okay? So the autopilot is constantly recording every moment from the time you're born. And you know the greatest thing about this story is the brain is totally activated when you were in your mother's womb. That's how it could recognize your mother's voice, your mother's heartbeat. And it literally, under the sensory organs, is full firing. I mean firing, which means it's totally active. So as you, when you came out of your mother's womb, automatically you looked into her eyes and you knew exactly who she was. So if your brain didn't recognize it, how would you know? Because it was automatic. The brain is one of the organs that are totally developed in a child way before anything else. Believe it, it's the first thing that starts to develop. Not the lungs, not the intestinals or anything. It is the brain. Because the brain takes the most time to create. Right?
Yeah.
Create and be formed. Okay, so let's go back to this right here. We want to understand the balance, and I want you to understand what. So we're going to start. emotional mind. The emotional mind, again, is your feeling center. It is how you feel about the video, remember, of the autopilot.
Yes.
All right? What you saw and what you heard.
What you saw
and how
and what
you felt
heard.
About it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So the brain and the heart has to communicate. It has to communicate so that you can understand what it is that you are feeling. However, if fear is one of those things which comes from trauma, abuse, sudden impact of any experiences of the subconscious mind, of life, then it confuses. It confuses the autopilot. And the autopilot, then what happens is it gets attached to one of those experiences more so than the other.
Mm.
That's what trauma does. It trains the brain. The whole body keeps score. That is a book. So for those who ever, you know, experience any type of trauma or anything that's unrest that actually just took you there to the point where you're like, oh, my God, I wish this would get out of my mind, get out of my spirit, the body keeps score. And I need to go ahead. What I'm going to do, I'm going to post that, you know, on a running ticket in a minute so that you can go look that up because it explains how the mind reacts to trauma and how the body's sensory organs.
Wow. Now that is really interesting.
It is.
Because actually every experience is recorded in the cells of your body.
Yes.
So this is how illnesses develop. When you have trauma, emotional trauma, it's recorded, the vibration of that is recorded in the cells of your body. And not only do you have the emotional trauma from your experiences, you have the cellular memory of your ancestors.
Absolutely.
You have all of that. And the amazing thing is that we're still able to function with all of this cellular memory, but as you're saying, we keep writing, we keep adding to the program, so everything that happens to you, you're adding to this memory that's being recorded in your body, so you can choose to record positive memories that will override the negative ones.
Yeah.
But you have to make that conscious choice, and it can't be a reaction. It has to be a conscious choice of how you're going to record the memories and the actions that you're experiencing so that your body can, in fact, be comprised of the positive vibrations of positive memory.
Right. Absolutely. And the thing about it is because that's why I was telling you, it's so many different factors. I want to touch bases on our watcher here that our Facebook Live, our viewer, Dara Watkins had a comment, the body heals itself, but the brain can become brain dead. Correct me if I am wrong, my sister. Okay, so the thing about it is, the body can heal itself, but the brain has to be in a certain balance before the body can heal itself. Because the brain sends signals and hormones throughout the body so that these things can be corrected. So the brain can't be dead. If the brain is dead, then what happens is it cuts the executive functioning to the rest of the unit, which is the body.
Right.
So the brain has to be alive. Like if somebody's brain dead, they can keep a breathing apparatus on that person and the heart will still beat, but there's no signals to the rest of the body. The body doesn't move. The body doesn't act, there's no activation, only the heartbeat of the blood, which is the blood functioning area, circulatory area, keeps the organs activated for a period of time. Now, after a period of time, that can no longer be because the body will start deteriorating because the brain has to be able to activate the body's sensory throughout. We have sensory all the way throughout our bodies, all the way from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. So the brain is the executive computer to the rest of the body.
You know, it kind of makes me think about It kind of makes me think about descriptions I've had of, I was born in the city, so this is not my personal experience, but a chicken with its head cut off, and the body will still keep, you know, along the brain, the blood is pumping through the body. The chicken might run around for a couple of seconds after the head has been cut off, but eventually it would collapse because, you know, without, as you said, without the brain sending signals, eventually everything stops. So
and only reason, you know, the only reason why I actually kind of studied that to a certain degree, Naima, is because the chicken was in trauma.
Yes.
So what happens is it's really the adrenaline from the brain that keeps the chicken jumping. It's not getting any signal at all. It's almost like,
wow.
You know, like when we are in fight or flight or freeze mode, if you are in one of those modes where the adrenaline is flowing in you, it's like you are on hypodrolic, right? That's how some people get this tremendous strength, you know, if they were in a car accident to lift things up or to pull someone out that's twice their weight.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the adrenaline is like this fluid, this hormone that releases the body and prepares us to fight.
Fight or
and
flight,
that's the reason why an animal will go through that. And even in, I'm kind of veering off a little bit, but I want to explain something. In slaughterhouses,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they are slaughtering the cows and things of that nature, they we would hope they put blinders on.
But they don't.
On the cows, but they do not.
Yeah.
So guess what? That cow watches the other cow in front of it get slaughtered, and guess what happens? The adrenaline starts to go throughout its body.
Yes, so they're all being traumatized.
And we're eating traumatized meat.
Which is why I do not eat meat, because you're eating the death fear energy of the slaughtered animal. Because these animals were not killed in a way that was quick and painless and trauma-free. They were traumatized. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And you're eating that. And that becomes a part of what's in your body's cells.
Right. So I hope I answered your question, Ms. Darva, over there. I hope I answered that question for you. The brain... Okay, thank you. The brain has to be activated. So, again, the wise mind, the wise mind is a component of balance, emotional, and reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a perfect blend. Most people walk this earth, with totally emotional. They're not, they very seldom sit there and ponder. I said use the power of pause. Use the power of pause and say to yourself, okay, I'm in this situation. What should I do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, open your mouth and say that. Because your autopilot needs to hear it. It needs to hear it. Your brain needs to hear it. The reason why is because your executive functioning will then start pondering on a solution. Not just an answer on a solution. Answers are one of those things that are quick, but they don't always last. You do know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Now, the solution. Solution could be used again and again and again. Because solutions bring strategies. They bring strategies so that you can apply the things over and over and over again, and you'll be able to put yourself in a position where you're not so easily overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Because if you're always easily overwhelmed, you need to check to see if you are operating in your emotional mind.
Yes. You know what's interesting? Yesterday's conversation on our show where we asked the question, why are men so angry? And I got a flood of emotional responses from men who addressed the fact that they are not allowed to show any emotion and express any emotion other than anger. Mm-hmm. And so you have all these other emotions, grief, fear, sadness, all of these things, but it comes out as anger because culturally men are given the signal, the idea that it's unmanly to show your emotions. So just because you don't show them doesn't mean they're not there. It's a human aspect of life. So you're going to have emotions, and unexpressed emotions get suppressed and cause disease.
Yes.
So this is why we must learn how to express emotions in a healthy manner and acknowledge them.
Yes,
suppressing
absolutely.
Them doesn't make them go away.
No, no. That's why you have to have the balance. Good morning, Miss Vienna Robinson. Darwin Watson's brain is the command center for the body, activated by the vagus nerve and microbiome and more.
Okay.
Yes. Now, however, if that person experiences nerve damage from some type of experience in life, all right, it gets altered, just so you know. In other words, the brain center starts to get irregulatory, which means not releasing the hormonal balances correctly to what is called the neurotransmitter. And the vessels in the brain is called the synapses and the dendrites. So those vessels have to have enough oxygen, all right, to then activate the firing of the neuron transmitters has to be able to release those hormones so the vagus nerve and all of these other parts of the brain can operate appropriately. But when that person is under trauma and the adrenaline is constantly rushing, it interrupts the process.
Something else I want to point out as well, when a baby is born, it's necessary for them to be held, cuddled, and soothed. Otherwise, the neurotransmitters don't connect properly and their brain does not fire properly, and they literally are brain damaged from not having that love. And it's a trauma, you know, a child not having the necessary nurturing. And they've studied what happens in orphanages with children who were held and cuddled and rocked, and children who were just left alone to cry in a crib and not giving any nurturing. And their brains develop differently. So the brain is actually affected by the emotional state and what is experienced. The actual physical functioning of the brain is affected. So that's a very early state that we can see where people are being shaped biologically, physiologically, by emotion.
It is, absolutely. Because the sense in a baby, the sensory organs are the ones that before, that's their whole world. They sense everything. That's why they taste everything. You know, they put things in their mouths because that's how they identify what it is. So touch is a sensory because we have sensors all over our body. So as they're sensing that, it activates the sensory organs to the brain of love, of feeling accepted. So you're right. So if they don't get that touch, if they don't get the warmth and the love, you know, from the emotional of that human being or whatever is giving them the love, then it starts to change the way they feel, even about themselves over a long period of time.
Yeah.
Darwin Watkins, our Facebook viewer. So this is what she said. So people who suffer with diseases and conditions end up dying because of damage to the brain. Very possible. However, see, it's always a high error because the thing about this is when the brain, sometimes, let me give you an example. A person that could be in a coma for a long period of time has neurological, what they call dysfunction, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they come out sometime, okay?
Yeah.
Which means a person can come out of a coma after weeks or even months, sometimes years. We've seen that before. Can you imagine laying in that state for a long period of time and you have to, when you do come back, you, the brain has to activate itself to, like, the body has to learn how to walk again, talk again. And we have read stories where people get the majority of at least 80% of their functionality.
It can happen.
After they have it, but they have to have this thing called strong will and strong resilience. They have to have a non-giving up type of mind.
It takes willpower. Yes. We've got to take a break, and we've got callers on the line. So we'll give you all an opportunity to express your thoughts. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And here we are with Soulful Solutions, Dr. Debbie Green. If you want to join us visually, go to Soulful Solutions on Facebook and feel free to write in your comments. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we'll be right back after these quick messages. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And if you're on our switchboard now, press 1, and we will gladly add you to this conversation, and we'll be right back after this break, so stay with us.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out, and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Perfection will only keep you miserable, so please understand the difference. go through our errors. We have to go through our mistakes so we can know how great we are. Please understand. That's the reason. If you didn't go through nothing terrible, guess what? You would not know your strength, okay?
Yes.
So it is necessary that life has to throw you stumbling blocks. It has to put things in your way. It has to try to tear you down so you can know how wonderful you are when you build yourself up even greater. That's the way life is designed. We're not robotic. We are what we call just total beings that walk this earth in a blissful state so that we'll be able to live, not exist, not just survive, but live. Please understand, there is a difference. Awesome. Okay, so we want to take a caller there, Ms.
Maima? Yes, I think our caller dropped, but of course, if you're still listening in, feel free to call back in and press 1-515-605-9325. Press 1. And for those who are on our switchboard now, if you have something to say, press 1. You know, I want to take a look at some of the things that people may struggle with when it comes to understanding how their minds actually affect the functioning of the body. Our health care industry, the holistic healers understand that there is a mind-body-spirit connection.
Yes.
But much of our health care industry is still looking at it as separate parts. And they're not realizing that energetically our physical body is affected. And the disease is created by the energy that is generated through our emotions. And so when we go for healing and they heal the physical symptoms of the body, or they treat the physical symptoms of the body with whatever pills or medications, because the energy of the emotions is what created the illness, the illness will simply keep reoccurring until you correct the emotions. And so because our minds create the emotions, our minds create the thoughts that generate the emotions, it's the mind that is actually affecting the health of the body. So understanding this, for those holistic healers that understand this, then when you come to them with a physical illness, which is a manifestation of the emotions created in your mind, they will first seek to discover what is happening in your mind. That's where everything originates.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you have that awareness, that takes awareness, because most people, when they have an ache or pain or anything, you know, they run to the doctor, okay, and then guess what? The doctor then says, let me give you this pill. Let me give you this injection.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you something that, and it may even affect you and may help for a moment, but then you notice that it comes back.
It comes
back. It does, like you said, it doesn't go away. So that's why it's so important for us to balance and know, okay, if you are holding on to something emotionally, you have to ask yourself, am I living an emotional mindset lifestyle? When you live an emotional mindset lifestyle, then what happens is everything that is in your life will start affecting you. And I'm not minimizing anything. Please understand. I'm not minimizing if you went through a trauma or went through abuse or whatever. No, but the goal is to come out.
Yes.
If you don't come out of it, you're just going to keep cycling in it over and over and over again. And if you notice, every time you cycle in it, it gets harder and harder to come out of because the situation is being suppressed and not really being dealt with because you don't want to feel the pain. So you move away from it, you hide it, you suppress it, you deny it. You just don't want to touch it. So it just begins to, I call it a landmine, okay?
Mm.
We have landmines that we create in this life. Those landmines, you know, we may walk around them. We may, you know, try to, you know, not to step on them. But one day, something is going to happen
where
you're going
landmine.
To hit it.
Yes.
And when you hit that
everything
landmine, y'all, I'm going to tell you something right now. everything is going to fall apart. Everything that you, and then, I mean, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to pre-warn you, okay?
But that's why it's important to address an emotion and not pretend it's not there. Pretending an emotion is not there is not the same thing as addressing it and getting rid of it. This is why it's so critical to understand what is affecting your mind, what is affecting your thoughts, and to, as you've always said, to control your thoughts, because your thoughts create the emotions that affect the body. And people are not, we've been talking about for, centuries, someday somebody's going to have a cure for cancer. Well, cancer has already been cured because the cause of cancer has been discovered. Mm-hmm. Cancer is a manifestation of suppressed anger.
Yes.
So when there is unforgiveness, the energy of that affects the body's organs, and it manifests as cancer. So if you address the root cause, then you can actually heal the body. And many people have experienced this.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding that mind, body, spirit connection is crucial to healing, especially because the emotions are that's the energetic component to what is affecting your body's cells, the energy. And if we understand what it is we're suppressing, then we can understand when various illnesses manifest in the physical body. The body is a communication device. It's telling you what's happening in your mind that's creating the emotion. So every pain, ache, malfunction is a signal from the body telling you to address a suppressed emotion. So where in your mind are you at a state of dis-ease? And if you've been, and one of the things that came out in yesterday's conversation was the fact that as children, we're told, don't cry, stop crying.
Ugh.
And crying actually releases the stress and the toxins. So if you don't cry, then you're suppressing all the toxins, all the stress, and you're making yourself sick. So the worst thing you can tell a child is don't cry. The worst thing you can tell an adult is don't cry. No, cry. That's your body's releasing the stress, the anxiety, the toxicity that comes with the stressful emotions. So we've been doing this thing all backwards when it comes to how we help our children cope with their stress, telling them don't cry, stop crying, don't be a baby. Well, no, you need to cry because that's what's going to heal you. That's what's going to keep you from getting sick.
Absolutely, absolutely. So as we are creating this wonderful thing called balance, balance is created when you put limits, set limits, on how much energy you give to something, okay? So which means that energy is your attention. Is your attention what you think about any particular thing, okay? And let's just use something, for example, a past situation that happened to you when you were much younger, and it often visits your mind, which means that it comes back and forth like a wave in the ocean. It goes back and forth, and then something distracts you. You no longer think about it for that whatever moment, days, weeks, but then it comes back again. Okay, so this is the emotional regulator in your brain, which is the autopilot, your subconscious, asking you, are you ready to deal with this now? Or do you not want to deal with it? So when you listen to it, listen, which means listening with your non-tangible, active listening self, which means think, here comes that thought, you get that thought, here it comes, it's in your mind, and you ponder on that thing, and here comes the feeling. If that's an uncomfortable feeling, guess what happens? It's going to snag you. That's what I call an entanglement. It's going to snag you for a period of time. And hopefully there will be a distraction. The phone might ring. Somebody may knock on the door. You know, somebody in your home may ask you something or whatever, if you're at work or what, you know, however, might some kind of distraction that will take away from your attention from that thing for a period of time, okay, and then it gets suppressed again. All right. So that's how the emotional mind works. It works where you are attached to, and that's the heart center. The mind communicates with the heart for the feeling because the emotions are in the heart. They're not in the mind. Moods are in the heart. It's the mood that you feel about that situation. And we get it confused because, again, you're just revisiting your past. You're revisiting your videotape. That's what I said. That's your videotape of your sounds, pictures, actions, behavior, because everything is recorded in your brain.
Yes, yes.
So if you're revisiting those things, as you're revisiting those things, okay, now you got to be careful of your limitations. Like I said, I often compare Naima as being in a room. Here comes the room, and the room is always ajar. It's not wide open. It's ajar. So the past things that may make us uncomfortable, all right, are inside of the room. Now, these things you've been dealing with for a period of time, some are solved and finalized and some are not, okay? So what happens is the brain recognizes something in the room. Okay, let's just say something comes out, okay, of the room, and you literally stop and you push that door open a little bit. Now, some of those things are, like I said, solved, and some of them are not. All right? So when you push that door open, you go inside that room, right? When you go inside that room, you got to be careful how long you stay in there because the door will close shut on you.
Mm-hmm. You're
right?
Stuck there.
So I always tell my patients and my clients, you're allowed to peek in there, but you are not allowed to go inside.
Right.
Especially if you're not ready to deal with some things.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
If you're not ready to deal with them, okay, they're going to lay dormant until you are. But then you got to understand there's repercussions. There's repercussions, consequences, situations, and circumstances for not finalizing. And those things then start to then, you know, shape and form your reality of your mind, wonderful people. I'm not talking about so much of your outside world. I'm talking about your virtual world. We got a virtual reality and we got a real reality.
Yes. And
okay?
So much of our reality is what's in our minds. You ever met a person that reacted to something that you said and it totally was not what you meant, but they were offended because they felt that you had insulted them or hurt their feelings? And maybe you might have made a neutral comment like, oh, you're wearing a blue dress today.
Uh-huh.
And they heard it as, oh, that blue doesn't go well with your skin color. Oh, you look raggedy. That's the wrong thing. You shouldn't have worn the blue. Everybody else is wearing black. They heard all of that, none of what you said. But they're reacting to what you said as if it was an insult when, in fact, it was a neutral statement. So
right.
Their mind created the context. Their mind created the emotional response. Their mind created the reality for them that they had just been insulted and put down.
Yes.
And none of that was the actual reality. All of it was in their mind.
That's it.
So many of us, day to day, we're living in the internal reality created in our minds, and that's what causes us stress. So most of the stress that we go through are based on things that aren't even real. They're all happening in our minds. And if we don't take time to analyze why we're having an emotional reaction, we won't realize that moment by moment by moment we're creating unnecessary stress by either focusing on something that happened and reliving a feeling of anxiety or hurt or anger, or projecting into the future, which hasn't happened yet, and anticipating something that's going to be stressful or hurtful. And so we end up putting all of those emotions into our our bodies based on things that aren't even happening, based on the reality we have created in our minds. So all of this, our bodies record all of these memories, even the memories of things that haven't happened, even the things of that only happen in our minds, they still create a cellular memory in our bodies. This is why people end up with things like hypertension and stress and high blood pressure. People are creating the energy of anxiety about things that have not happened, only in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're feeling the physical manifestation of that anxiety for something that isn't even real.
Isn't that amazing? And we call that fear.
Yeah.
False evidence appearing real.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can live an emotional, fearful life, or we can live a life of peace. And the only way to live a life in peace is realize how you live it in the first place. Are you just existing, or are you surviving? Because living is it's a whole different thing. Living is giving you the permission to lead a life of selfness. And sometimes we get selfish, confused with selfness. Selfness is giving yourself the ability to live your life on your terms.
We got to call
something, someone else.
Yeah, we've got a caller here. We're going to take a call. And if you're on our switchboard now, you want to join this conversation, just press 1. That'll light your number up, and we'll know you have something to say. So we're going to go to area code 863-816. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience, and give us your thoughts today on Soulful Solutions.
Yeah, L.A., Central Florida. Book in my high school basketball coach, one of my high school basketball coaches recommended, probably one of the best self-help books to help you understand and develop your mind is, and I guess some of your audience has probably read it, Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. It's probably got some videos on YouTube, but it basically shows you Dr. Maxwell Maltz was a plastic surgeon by profession. But he noticed that a lot of people that came in for plastic surgery, their real issue wasn't, their root cause issue wasn't what they looked like. It's what they thought they looked like and thought what they needed.
Yeah.
So in the book, he basically outlines how, you know, your mind works and how you can, he gives some basic exercises in the book that you can use. Our basketball coach, the guy that introduced us to the book, basically gave an example of, and it might be in the book Psycho-Cybernetics also, how an experiment, he took a team of people, two teams. One team shot foul shots physically for like a week or two or whatever. And then another set of players only took foul shots in their mind. And then when they put the two together and see who would do better, they about equaled out. So anyway, I highly recommend that book, Psycho-Cybernetics. It's you know.
So I got a question. The ones who did the shots in their mind, were they imagining themselves making the shot or missing the shot?
Oh yes. Yeah, I overlooked that. Yeah, they were imagining themselves making the shot and making it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and just as one example, there's a guy, I've been trying to get him on my podcast for over a year, a guy named Jamarian Stiles in South Florida. He had some kind of disease that some bacteria that basically he had to have his when it came to his arms, both arms, amputated.
Oh, wow.
Not the complete arm, but no hands. He had no hands.
Oh,
so he wanted
okay.
to make the basketball team. So he went to the coach and said, look, coach, I don't have any hands or anything like that, and I just want to be on the team. So the coach told him we're on trial for the team. So here's a guy with no hands he tried out for the team and he made it. Now, he came to practice early. He was the first one there, the last one to leave. He hardly got in any games during the season. But when he got in, he finally, like his first time in a regulation game, he actually scored 6 points. He scored two 3 points.
Wow.
So I imagine he had, I mean, in his mind, and he corresponded it with physical practice, the guy, first thing, you got the super ego to even think about trying to go out for an athletic sport like that with no hands. But it all started in his mind. So, but it's not in the book Psycho Cybernex, but the book Psycho Cybernex, I highly recommend it.
You know, I think I remember seeing recently a story about the guy playing basketball, because I think he, like, used his wrists or whatever because he has no hands. And I think I remember seeing either a short YouTube video or something.
He learned how to catch it with no hands, and he, once again, it's basically all possibility or overcoming the what we call the impossible. It all starts in your mind.
All starts in your mind. That is really
right.
Fascinating. Now, just think of somebody who's missing a major body part, but they decide they're going to do this physical thing that everybody else is doing who has that body part, and so they actually make a way for them to do it. And I've seen people who are missing limbs and so forth, and they're still participating in sports and excelling in those sports because they have chosen to find another way to use their body. And then contrast that to somebody that will have a body part altered because they think it's incorrect. Like, oh, if I can just fix my nose, then I'll be beautiful, or then people will love me. And there's nothing wrong with your nose as it is. It breathes just fine. But in your mind, you think there's something wrong with the shape or size or whatever. And so it's what you think. Everything is in your mind. Whether you believe yourself defective or you believe yourself just fine as you are.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing.
It is. That's just how strong and powerful the mind is, Naima. It will accommodate the impossible.
Yes.
Even if
you know. Thank you, LA. Appreciate that story.
Thank
definitely.
You so much for that information, because it's a much needed information, because we are always working on perfecting ourselves. And
yeah, I'm sorry. Did you have something else you were going to say, LA, before you go?
No. I'm just thinking about our ancestors, the resilient. I mean, to endure that slave ship ride over, you know, to survive that, you had to have one hell of a strong mind to overcome that. And then on the plantation, and then the Underground Railroad, and so what's that old expression? A mind is a terrible thing to waste. So if anybody out there has a problem or worrying about something, or you don't know how you're going to pay the rent or the mortgage or whatever, start it off in your mind. You'll find a way.
Find a way. There you go. Yes. Well, thank you so much for that. Reverend Jesse Jackson always says, strong minds break strong chains.
Hey.
So that is really where it starts, no matter what your circumstances. Your mind has to see it. And once whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve.
That's right.
So, being able to foster that strong mind, that's so critical as a parent, because a child is going to be basically told whatever you tell them they are, whatever you tell them they can become. It's like programming a computer, the words that you speak to the mind of a child. So when you say you can be anything you want, you can be the best, you can be the greatest, you program that mind. And that's what manifests. I just saw the film King Richard, in which, Will Smith played the father of Venus and Serena Williams. And he had this whole plan and of how they were going to become champions, and kept telling them they're going to be champions, they're going to be the best in the world. And that's what manifested. So
beautiful.
We can make things happen by the power of what we speak, and then the power of what we think, because thoughts are self-talk. No one hears your thoughts, but your mind hears your thoughts. So monitor what you say to yourself, because that is, and you know, if you say things like, I'm always broke, Will, you just created that reality. Ooh. Do not say things. Do not speak your fears of what will be, because you then create that reality.
Yes.
It first happened in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back to examine the logic, rational, and reasonable mind and how we can conquer that thing.
Conquering the rational, reasonable mind. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
Wise mind. You cannot be too much of either on each hemisphere Therefore, you won't have a balance, and you will find that things will really be chaotic.
Mm.
I think that's what my sister Zelda said. She said, Grand Rising. Grand Rising, beautiful queen. Sisters, balance is what will help keep our sanity in times of chaos and confusion. Great topic. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, especially now. Dealing with the pandemic, the thing is ongoing. It doesn't seem like it's going to go away. We're at the end. We're 2 years down, you guys.
2020 and 2021. These have been pandemic years.
So we're still dealing with this thing, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people are really what they call reactive to it. And I want to help you move from the being the reactive to come into the responsive mind.
Let me ask a quick question.
We call it proactive.
Let me ask a quick question.
I
look at the fact that we've been in this for 2 years. What about children who are maybe 2 years old, meaning this is the only reality they have known? How can parents make sure they don't get ingrained with fear consciousness so that they can, even though they were born during a time of global fear and trauma, they can be conditioned to see something beyond this? How does a parent of a child that literally grew up in the pandemic years help to mold their thinking so that their thoughts aren't fear-based?
Well, I mean, okay, when you say 2 years old, you're talking about toddlers. So
yeah.
It's like a toddler, they're very smart.
Yeah, they observe everything.
Reasoning, they don't have it yet. The brain executive function is not even developed until you're 24 years old, believe it or not.
You know, so
helping them to understand those things that would be pretty much impossible. You can talk to them about it, but they won't understand it. The only thing the parent can do is to protect the child, of course, physically, and just show a lot of love, because they may, as they do, you know, because I have grandchildren, you know, I got two two-year-olds and one that will soon be five in March, and he wears his mask, and he's like, Mommy, you know, why do we have the mask on? You know, and you know, my daughter would say, oh, this is to protect us because there's some bacteria in the air.
So now I know some people because of, you know, they've been taught, okay, social distance. I know some people that will not hug their children or grandchildren. And so when you don't get, like we talked about, when you don't get physical touch, that affects your physical health. So if you have a child that's young and they're not getting hugs, that is going to have an emotional impact. So how do we help people circumvent the effects of this so that there is some normalcy in the mind of the child, in their sense of comfort and security? I mean, you know, if you take them out in nature and they can still see the animals, the squirrels, the birds, the dogs, the cats, they can still see some normal functioning in the world around them.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps there can be a balance of, well, there are germs, and, you know, until the germs are cleared out of the air, you know, we're being cautious. But there has to be an understanding that this is not a normal state of being. And the earth is going through a cleanse, but they need to see the end, and they need to see a future in which this will not be the norm. I think it's difficult for young people to see a future because they don't have enough of a past to refer to. It's like why youth suicide rises during times of great stress because they haven't lived through enough to know that, like they say, trouble don't last always.
Right.
So, you know, how do we help that young mind who hasn't had enough experiences to know that some of the things that are uncomfortable are temporary and there is a normalcy and there is a way to express the physical love that they need to nurture them for their emotional health?
Well, you have to let them talk about the differences, and which is that, you know, before the last 2 years, and you let them know, you know, people were leading pretty much a normal life without having to be very conscious of bacteria or germs or things in the air, you know, that could cause, you know, detriment or hurt. I don't like to use the word completely death or to kill. You know, when it comes to kids, I try to keep it at a jargon of, you know, to where they can understand it without thinking that it's just fearful type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so explaining to them what was normal and what is not normal now, and helping them to understand the differences.
Mm-hmm.
And hope that, you know, one day it will go back to normal whenever that day comes. Because none of us really don't know when that day is going to come. So we can't say, oh, in the next 5 years or next 2 years or whatever the case may be, we won't be visiting this, but we don't know. So it's almost like you just have to get them to that proactive state of seeing that, okay, this is what's going on in the earth right now. And not to be fearful, to know that you're protected, you know, because that's what I'm going to do as a mother, as, you know, a father, a parent. I'm going to protect you as much as I can. But, you know, I also need you to understand that don't be afraid, you know, to try to remove the fear out of the mind. Because, again, then they can become very emotional. And when they become very emotional, then that's when they then get really hypersensitive. People who think with an emotional mind are hypersensitive to trouble and just any type of disappointment or anything. Everything is 6, 7, 10 times worse what it was, would it be a person that's in the logic mind.
Now, what creates that? If, like an early negative experience where you're constantly reliving that feeling of whatever disappointment or sadness,
well,
so you keep anticipating it?
Yes, ma'am. It's many factors that can produce a person that is hypersensitive to their emotions. It could be, again, it could be a past traumas, you know, abuse, crisis, sudden impact of whatever the case may be, or they can be empaths. Empaths is when people feel, right, their energetic cords are tied outside of themselves. And they feel their environment.
Now, that's an interesting thing also because,
yeah.
I mean, all of us have empathic abilities. Some, as you said, are more heightened than others. And when you're hypersensitive like that and you feel others' feelings, that can be kind of overwhelming. That's something that a mask doesn't stop because it's your energy field that you are actually projecting out and receiving, and when you're receiving other people's energy, that can be overwhelming, especially if you have a lot of distress energy around you. So I think if you're empathic, you really have to make a conscious choice of who you surround yourself with, because you're constantly picking up the energy of the people around you. And if you're around people who are very fearful or very angry or whatever emotion it is, you're going to feel that, and that can, again, affect your physical health.
Yeah,
so,
it can. Vieta Robinson, our Facebook viewers, said we don't want to go back to normal. The new paradigm is what we need, with more peace, health, love, and no more psychopath government that promotes a war machine.
That's true. So this is a good thing. We're actually getting rid of what was normal, because that was abnormal. To be always in a state of fear, to always be on hyper alert and ready to you know, attack somebody, that was an abnormal way of living. So this is a great opportunity for us to create a new normal, a different way of being. And one thing this virus has taught us is that there really is no separation. All of that is in our mind. Air is breathed by everybody. So everybody is affected. So that demonstrates that we are one world community. And we need to be concerned about each other's well-being because other people's well-being affects our own. We don't want someone to catch the virus because we might catch it if they got it. So that has to be the same thing with everything else. I want you to be well. I want you to be emotionally healthy. I want you to be at peace because it's going to affect me. Like you say about the empaths, we're all absorbing each other's energy. We're all affected by each other's energy. So this is a wonderful way for us to get a visual demonstration of that so we can create that new normal. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And you have to have self-discovery, self-awareness, and self-discipline to do so. Because if you're not aware of what you're doing, how you're thinking, how you're feeling, what circumstance you are creating, then what's going on? You know, what's really going on? That means you're living a life of disarray.
Right.
So,
reaction.
You know, we don't want to create nothing that is detrimental, that's tearing down. We want to create something that's building up. And that's preparing you for whatever it is to come. Because we don't know the earthly type of occurrences that's going to be in our future. But what we do know is that if we are proactive, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, we will be able to sustain life. Because that's the goal. The goal is to sustain life, not tear it down.
Absolutely.
So if we are too emotional, we can't think.
Yeah.
We won't think. We're just going to be a ball of nerves. You ever heard? You know, a long time ago, over 50 years ago, there was such a thing before the psychiatric, the psychology of things came about, you know, giving things labels and diagnosis and prognosis. And we remember that thing called nervous breakdown.
Yes.
All right? So we remember the thing, you know, someone.
Explain what that is for people who don't know. What actually happens when you have a nervous breakdown?
When you have a nervous breakdown, all of your functional organs are at its highest level of deterioration. I mean, your mindset, your body, your spirit, your heart, everything is deteriorating all at one time. And when I say deteriorating, I'm not saying that it is falling apart. It's just that your ADL, activity of daily living, is totally ADL. Interrupted. You can't sleep, or you're sleeping too much. You're not eating, or you're eating too much. You know, you have a hard time focusing. You're always overwhelmed. You're constantly in sorrow. You may be so angry that you're screaming to the top of your lungs. You may do something that's totally out of the ordinary, that looks like it is strange behavior. All of those things years ago, that's what they call a nervous breakdown. And most people would go to what is called a mental institution back then. It was a mental institution where they would try to figure out what is the problem. Back then, you know, it was, you know, they would put you in a bed, or if you were damaged to yourself, they would tie you down.
Yeah, in a straight jacket. They wrapped your arms around you. You couldn't harm yourself.
Yeah, because they didn't know what to do with you. They didn't know there was no medication. There was no studies. There was definitely no technology to do anything. They didn't have any idea. So now, fast forward, in the 20th century, it is called psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's called. Psychosis is when the areas of the being is then totally, it starts to break itself down. The mind, conscious, subconscious, unconscious, are dysfunctioning. The body is dysfunctioning, and everything is dysfunctioning. So what does a psychiatric doctor do? Because there's a brain, just like a part of our body has a doctor, every part of our body has a doctor, so does the brain. It's called a psychiatric doctor, right? So what he does, based upon symptoms, actions, and behavior, is how he treats this situation. He will give something in the medication to then balance the hormones inside the mind. Now, what you said earlier, you said if you're dealing with some situations or been through some things emotionally, then it starts to cause rupture, okay? Mm. Turbulence in the being.
Mm.
So years ago, I'm sure whoever suffered a nervous breakdown went through some trauma and did not understand their trauma.
Mm.
And so they continued to go through it over and over and over and over again, cycling mentally, emotionally into this traumatized state, and then not coming out. And so the being then gets imbalanced completely, and that's what starts the sickness, hypertension, heart disease, cancer, the things that you're talking about, okay?
Mm.
Alzheimer's dementia. Back in 1908, there was a Dr. Alzheimer's, which had a patient called Lois, said, she said something, "I think I'm losing myself.
Mm.
I don't know who I am anymore." So what happened? What happened to the brain? Now, as he examined her life, he noticed that she went through trauma. Trauma is linked to Alzheimer's dementia. Anytime a person is extremely stressed to the highest levels of pressure, it causes a deterioration in the brain. And the releases of hormones are imbalanced, then causing a domino effect in the body, and it continues on.
That's really interesting, because I'm thinking of all of the people that I have encountered that have gotten Alzheimer's. It manifested after some emotional trauma, usually maybe the death of someone close to them, maybe the loss of, you know, a lot of money or destruction of our home, some major life event that was overwhelming to them. And that's when they began to develop the signs of dementia. And what I'm understanding is that when something becomes too difficult to face, you simply forget it, and then you start forgetting everything else in your life, and that's where the dementia comes in, the forgetfulness. I've had people close to me who I've watched go through the progression of losing themselves after a trauma, and people are thinking it's a normal part of aging. But, I mean, my mother's 98 years old, and she can remember stuff back to when she was like 2 years. I mean, she hasn't lost anything, so aging doesn't create it. It is the mind and the experiences that create the emotions, and when the emotions become overwhelming to the point where they hurt you so badly, you can't stand to even remember them. Then you start to forget. And it's as if the emotions have told the brain to malfunction so that you can't remember. And that's the fascinating part about it, because if we could heal the emotions before they affect the brain, we could probably prevent the Alzheimer's.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And, I mean, there have been studies, for the last 15 years, well over 15, 20 years, you know, of the aftermath of this, and they linked it with the basal nerve, the capacity to the rear of the brain, having coverage of the plaque on the nerves that's what's causing the dementia and these things of this nature. But again, what causes that?
Yes.
You know, they don't talk about what causes
the origin of that. We see the effect, but what is the cause?
It's always something that causes something. That's always cause and effect.
Yeah.
So it's not just like, our brains just start deteriorating on its own.
Yeah.
So something causes that.
What triggered
it? Whether it's been our diet, whether it's been our DNA structure from the generations or whatever. Something is causing it, and it's not. And again, there's no cure. Here we go.
Yeah.
It's like cancer in the brain. What is the difference?
Right.
What is the difference? There is no difference as far as I'm concerned.
Same thing.
I worked in an Alzheimer's unit back before I was finished grad school for, you know, well over 5 years, and they locked them inside of a unit because they will wander out into wherever. So they don't, they literally don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's when you lose the balance of your mind, you lose everything. Everything,
you lose yourself.
You don't know who you are. And believe, you know, I want to touch bases on this very quickly. When a person goes through bouts of depression, they lose bits and pieces of themselves.
Wow. Wow.
Because they're not imbalanced.
Wow.
We found this to be a very, very, I wouldn't say an odd thing, but it's because depression causes memory loss.
Wow.
It does.
Light bulb just went on in my head.
You can remember your name. You can remember your mom, your dad, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking the day by day, day by day. Some people and some of the patients that I encountered, we could ask them, what did you have for dinner last night? And they have to sit there and think about it. I think, how many, and we asked them, how many hours of sleep? Not sure. So what's going on there? What's really going on there?
So,
you know what I'm saying? So the depression is affecting the ADL and the memory of the ADL. Because it's a part of that. The memory loss, if it is, and that's not the only thing that affects memory loss. It's also diabetes. Diabetes, heart conditions, dementia, CVAs, so everything affects memory loss. But what I'm saying is these things, okay, if a person was balanced from the very beginning, let's just say when they were balanced emotionally and you know, logically balanced, when they have these bouts of sickness, whether it's mental illness or physical illness, and it starts to affect them, and it starts to make them lose themselves, because that's what happens. Would they get so caught up in what is causing the depression? Because these things have causes. No one wakes up being depressed. No one is born being depressed. You could have a family member that suffered with depression, but you are more vulnerable emotionally to life. But that doesn't mean that you have a diagnosis. There's a difference, right? So the memory loss that goes along with this is when they start having these bouts of depression, losing themselves slowly. They lose themselves slowly. They're not able to function fully.
So explain then, depression itself, neurologically what is happening, is the brain releasing certain chemicals that are affecting the body physiologically, that's affecting the brain physiologically? Does the energy of your sadness generate or create the secretion of certain hormones or the suppression of certain hormones? What actually physically happens when you're in a state of depression?
What physically happens is, depending on if it's reoccurring or episodic. Okay, let me give you one situation. We have a patient now that has major depressive disorder, okay? And this is with psychosis. Psychosis is when it interrupts the ADL, the activity of daily living. So that being said, it's recurrent. Like it goes and it comes, it goes, it comes. So what's occurring in her brain is it is the suppressing of the normal hormones that's released for the brain, the serotonin, the dopamine, the endorphins.
Serotonin, dopamine, endorphins. These are the hormones that...
But they have to be released in a certain amount of timing, but also a certain amount of it has to be released so that person can feel, you know, up to par.
Right, a state of well-being.
State of being, so you're not sluggish, you don't feel sadness, you're not constantly in remorse and these things. Now, with this situation, she experienced a traumatic event, okay, and it was a recent event. But the thing about it is she's always been depressed. She's always had depression, and her job keeps her in a place where, you know, from she was working like 25 years, and because of her job, it was a healthy distraction for her. So, but any other time, she's not going to be there. You know, she's not, if she's not at her job, she's at home. She's isolating. She's not outside. She doesn't have a social activity. Mm. So when she no longer had her job and the job was removed due to this crisis she experienced, she bottomed out, as we called it.
Fell
apart. She went directly into psychosis.
Wow.
Another word, nervous breakdown.
Wow.
Okay? She totally went, and now she's trying to figure out what happened to me. There's no, the memory of even her emotions are vague.
Mm.
You know, from day to day, she keeps repeating the same things over and over again, unaware.
Wow.
So she's stuck right there.
That's
she's
another
stuck
thing.
In that situation. They repeat the same things over and over again because there's no separation because the brain is not in full functioning. You know,
I have observed that. And that's a weird, oh, that's such a strange experience, watching someone who's in the midst of the whole dementia and Alzheimer's and the repetition of the same thing. It's like rewinding a tape and playing it over and over again. And I've interacted with people who are at that stage, and we'll have a conversation, and then 5 minutes later, they'll have that same conversation. And I even, at one associate, elderly woman, she's passed on now, but I would come by and visit her and talk to her, and she would say, you know, this whole long thing, we'd have a conversation, and then it was like somebody rewound the tape. She would say everything she just said using the same words. It was so eerie. It was like her brain was stuck on you know, like a record skipping or tape rewinding, just, you know, auto rewind. And I would even say different things to see if I could get her to move to a different part of the tape. And it was like it would somehow get back and just be stuck and rewind and say those same things over and over again. So, and I know some things had happened. I mean, again, a lot of the Alzheimer's people that I observed had been through trauma, and it's like that triggered it. That triggered, I guess, whatever, like you're saying, the suppression of the hormones and just the whole thing. But anyway, I know we got to take our last break. But, you know, when we come back, of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. You're listening to and watching Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And if you want to join us visually, go to Soulful Solutions on Facebook, and you will see the beautiful face of our Thursday host, Dr. Debbie Green. And we will be right back after this last break, so we want you to stay with us. All righty.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Well, you got mind, body, and soul. So all of your components are totally affected by this event of your life. You see what I'm saying? And the subconscious is perceiving it as a detrimental hit. That's what it is, a detrimental hit. See, the thing about it is whatever you perceived it to be,
that's
how your body is going to respond.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And again, anything in this area that we put a whole lot of focus on, that's why it's real extremely important to have balance, but most of all, boundaries. You have to understand, you have to have boundaries and limits to everything outside of self. Everything. You know, you have to, even with your children, your loved ones, significant others, friends, coworkers, past, present, you know, future, all of those things have to have a safety boundary. I call it property line. Otherwise, your brain will think of it as real time. Okay, for example, let's say that particular thing you were just talking about happened, you know, 3 years ago, but you still feeling it like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Time is circuit, but you still are holding on to it,
and
right?
If it's still right now.
Right. So your virtual mind is still stuck right there.
Mm.
Your virtual mind. So when the subconscious mind is stuck right there, what it does is sends these, you know, hormones throughout the body about this feeling that you had about that situation. Now, again, here comes distraction, a phone call or whatever. It may, you know, kind of wear off a little bit, but then it comes back, right? So the mind can be distracted, and people have to realize that you can have healthy distraction, and it's not that you, I don't want you to think you can run away or deny or anything these situations. But, you know, the goal is to have a healthy distraction until you are strong enough to deal with your present issues, because they have to be dealt with. Otherwise, you're going to continue to cycle in oppression, which leads to suppression, which leads to depression.
So now I have a thought then, because...
It interrupts that balanced mind. You no longer have a balanced mind at that point at all.
Well, you know, when you speak of going back and reliving a situation. Now, I've had a few associates who they grew up and their fathers were not in their lives. And as a result, it affected their self-esteem, their belief about themselves being worthy of love. So when they had a relationship that ended, rather than think about it as, okay, well, this is a person we weren't quite compatible. We had some good times, but, you know, that time is over. It's time for us both to move on. Instead of them processing it that way, they processed it as, this is confirmation that I am unlovable and unworthy of love because my father left me. I was unworthy of love, and now this other person left me. I am unworthy of love. And that thought was so devastating, what it created in them physiologically. They became ill. They developed illnesses, physical illnesses, as a result of, I guess what you could say, a broken heart. But I saw them deteriorate physically after a breakup. And then, you know, I saw the pattern of my father wasn't there, and I'm feeling as if I am unworthy of love, and now this person who I was in an intimate relationship with left me, confirming my fear that I'm unworthy of love. And that seemed to be the most devastating thought, and it created all of the physical maladies following that thought.
Right.
So how does a person recognize when it's their thought about a situation? Not the breakup, but what you think about the breakup, what you think it means in terms of your lovability or your worthiness that actually creates the depression and the physical illness following it.
Well, again, we go back to that thing called self-awareness. You have to be aware of what you're going through and what's happening in your life. If you don't have self-awareness, then you are going to remain broken. And that brokenness then causes other things to happen, because broken things bring other broken things. They can't bring life. They can only bring a sense of death, in some type of sense of being, because death is one of those things that if there's no life, there's death. There's no gray shaded area. And, dying mentally is not being able to focus, not being able to balance, always looking at life as this landscape of pessimistic view. I can't get better. I'll never be happy. You start self-defeating. So the balanced mind is extremely important, because if you stay in an emotional broken mind, because that's where you are, you cannot come out and get into the logic mind because of you not even aware. You just think this is who you are. Remember I told you you'll lose the self? Mm-hmm. You'll lose the self or the creator. The creator in you has to create another platform. The goal is, they have to have another platform. The only way the other platform is going to get there, you got to have the awareness. Okay, for example, I'm going through this thing. This thing is affecting me this way, this way, this way. Okay, is this healthy or is it not healthy?
Mm.
If it's not healthy, okay, what can I do to get it back to this healthier state? I have to create. So that means I have to balance. There's no way you're going to balance if you are not creating. There's no way. Jody Susan, there she goes, that little queen there. You have to have self-awareness and start with the heart. Absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely. But, the thing about it is the heart holds all the issues, correct? And it holds the emotions with the issues. But then what happens if there's a separation between the heart and the mind? What happens if fear gets in there and causes havoc and make you think in your virtual mind that you are going to self, that you are not this person that you want to be? So you start self-defeating, self-sabotaging, leading to self-destruction. This is how suicide, homicidal ideation comes into real play, okay? Because there's no balance. All the balance is gone. It's gone, but where did it go?
Soul retrieval.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Right? But you got to have the awareness. In order to do spiritual surgery, because that's what soul retrieval is, that means you have to literally understand what is really going on and allow that soul healing to happen. If you have no idea what that means, which means you're only focusing on what you don't have.
Mm.
That's it. That's all. Every day you wake up focusing on what you don't have. I cannot have happiness. And then you justify why you can't have it. Because this person did this to me and that person did that to me. And you start looking on the outside why you can't be balanced. And as long as you're looking on the outside for balance, it'll never come. It'll never happen. Because it's the jewel, the key to eternal life. Eternal life, which is the eternal life of the abundance life, is the key that's inside of you. So what should a person do? They need to sit back, get pen and paper, and write down, okay, what's really going on in my life? What's really going on in my mind? What's really going on in my spirit? What's really going on in my body? Everything should have its own piece of paper. And look at these things. Oh, wow. All of this is going on. Okay, so I live one at a time. Okay, let me focus on the mind. Since that is the creator of the rest of all this stuff that I'm dealing with, let me go ahead and get some help, even professional help. If I can't do it by myself, then let me go find someone that can assist me to help me become a whole person again. Whole. W-H-O-L-E. Whole person again. Not just a person that is in fragments, but a person that wants to put together their life intentionally, learning to live in a purposeful life, not just surviving, not just existing, because anything can exist. Anything can survive.
Yeah.
But living
to live
takes responsibility.
Yeah. I think it was Toni Braxton's song, Unbreak My Heart. Unbreak my heart. But how do you unbreak your heart, though? If you're stuck there where you are seeing everything as, oh, I can never live again. Oh, the one I love left me. There's no joy in life. There's no reason to be alive. I mean, because, you know, that train of thought, you know, that causes you to start deteriorating. You know, you put the thought out there, life isn't worth living, and my heart is broken, and I have no reason to be alive. There's nothing good in the world. You know, how do you undo that when...
No longer consider yourself a victim, bottom line. Because if you think that everything is being done to you, you can't reduce it. You can't retreat. You cannot. If you think you have, if you think everything is being done to you constantly, then you're not looking for a solution because you're too busy beating up yourself. You allow this, whatever this is, people, places, things, past, present, future, to you're the bullseye. You are the bullseye. Everything is happening to you. That's all you're focusing on. Everything is happening to me. So you're not making any positive changes. You're not looking at it from another perspective or another view. You think you have what is called a victim mentality. Mm. So when that victim mentality is hooked in your being, that's all you're going to think is, I am a victim. It's happening to me. You're doing something to me. I'm not doing anything for myself because there's no self-love. There's no self-compassion. You see what I'm saying? So, but let's say we turn this thing and you say, you know what, that's enough. I'm not gonna ask anybody else to love me. I'm not gonna ask anyone to do anything for me. And it's not that you're angry. No, you're making a stand. Okay? If the love comes, you embrace the love. Oh, thank you. But it's not necessity for life. It's not necessity for life.
Other people's love and validation of you isn't a necessity because you love yourself and you validate yourself.
Yes.
You say that you are worthy.
Enough for you.
Yes.
It's just enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just enough for you. And yes, we want to feel belong. We want to feel accepted. That's what we look for, our balance outside of ourselves all the time, Naima.
Mm-hmm.
If someone loves me, then I'll feel good. If my children are happy, then I'll feel good. You know, if my boss is happy on my job, then I'll feel good.
Right.
Okay, but what if none of that happens?
Yeah, you got to be able to feel good anyway.
Exactly.
Yes, you have to make yourself feel good. Yeah.
That's when you start looking at life from a balance.
Right.
It's not what others are doing around you.
Right.
Are you saying who you are, what you are, calling you? The balance comes from when you feel, when you think from your platform in life, from where you are, I'm good enough.
Right.
I'm good enough for
me.
Right. That's it. I may not be good enough for you,
but I'm good enough for me. Right.
And for me, I'm all right.
You got to be able to see it in your own mind. Like the basketball player with no hands.
You understand.
I am going to play basketball.
He's talking to himself, but he's like, nah.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to show them.
Yeah.
That I can love me regardless of what I don't have.
Right, right.
He had to love himself in order to get out there and do that.
Right.
There's no way. He could, if he was a victim, he would not be there.
He would not be able to do it.
Oh,
right.
I just, woo.
Yeah.
That's the energy that is sent me to the next.
Yes, the power is in your hands. It's not a matter of what people do or say to you. You have the power to create your own love. You have the power to create your own acceptance.
Yes.
And so when we realize that, we stop focusing on other people's behavior. Well, these people are racist. These people are sexist. These people discriminate against me because of where I live. These people don't like me. None of that matters.
None
of it. No one can define you. You define yourself. So once you define yourself, then nothing anybody else does can change that. They don't have the power to change that. The only power people have is the power you give them.
And they only treat you the way you allow them to treat you.
Absolutely. Based on what you believe about yourself.
At the end of the day, I'm going to tell you, for whoever is listening, do a 21-day challenge.
Mm.
A 21-day challenge is that whatever is you feel that is interrupting your life, past, present, or future. Mm-hmm. Think the best of that situation. Think the best of that situation. Start affirmating. Say something that is going to make you feel good every day. Choose a word. Choose a small phrase and say, I am going to be the best me regardless of what's happening in my day today. I am going to be in peace today. Just do it for that day. Mm-hmm. And when tomorrow comes, do it for that day. And keep yourself in the focus. And you're going to notice something, because the wonderful thing about positive energy, it's a healing balm. Okay?
Yes.
It heals from the inside out. And you're going to allow yourself, and for the first time in your life, not to be angry, not to wake up moody, not to wake up in a discontentment, but wake up in what you desire. What is it that you desire? Stop paying attention to what was and create something that what is.
Yes.
Because this is the opportunity. We're going into a new year. This new year is requiring us to do something we've never done before. Because guess what? We've never seen it before.
That's right. It's
Look,
new.
This is a model that one of my girlfriends told me. She said, all things new in 2022.
I like that. All things new in 2022. We just took your model. That's right.
Carolyn Hunter said that, and, you know, I am
all things new in 2022.
With her because I see her, like, enveloping into something wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And from her past situation, she does not let that steal her joy.
There
her joy
go.
Is intact, and I tell everyone that's listening, never let something steal your joy. Understand the wise mind.
Mm-hmm.
The wise mind says, I'm giving me what I need. What
yeah.
I need. Not, it's not selfish. It's called selfness.
Mm.
It's giving you what you need, when you need it. And it's all right, because when will be the time? When
That's
are you
right.
going to start loving yourself? Don't wait until you're old and thinking that you cannot say old, which means you're taking your last breath, because no one's considered old.
Right.
As long as you are walking this earth, you can make a change
That's
at
right.
any given moment in time.
That is
so give
right.
yourself that gift of life, please, for Dr. Deb. Do that.
All right.
Wow, what a show. Thank you,
fantastic.
On Facebook, thank you so much. We'll be right back here on Facebook Live, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. To those who listen on Blog Talk, thank you so very much for listening and giving us your divine attention, because I'm telling you, we are out here to just bring a change, to make somebody feel good about themselves. But guess what?
Right. Even live. Every
Please come to
so
the end of our show today.
So
you can hear
really
every show in the archive at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-hour.
We're making it happen. We got a whole
you
list of people that are going to be
on the
scheduled
Female
on
Solutions
these shows.
Facebook page. Go to
www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-hour.
Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my
website at www.naimalatif.com.
That's www.naimalatif.com.
That's right.
Listen to
we
our radio
live.
Shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Medasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan,
Tashakkur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.